Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to study Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. I know it's just one verse, but the verse itself is profound. And we want to consider today here in the United States of America very carefully what this verse says. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Now, doctrinally, you're dealing with a message from the Lord through Malachi to Israel. And when God took Israel out of the land of Egypt into the wilderness, one of the first things he did is he got them over to Mount Sinai, and he proclaimed to them verbally off the mount the Ten Commandments. And then, in addition to that, he gave them many supplemental commandments to go along with the commandments that he gave them there. And he gave Moses two tables of stone, written with the Ten Commandments for Israel. Those Ten Commandments were broken by Moses when he came down from the mount and found that Israel had already gone into idolatry. Now, they were told in Exodus chapter 20, where everybody could hear, not to make a graven image, to bow down thereto, and to worship it, any image made of anything in heaven or in the earth or under the earth. And they did it. They made a golden calf, and they were worshiping it. They were already into idolatry. He said, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And they put this God before them, and even Aaron proclaimed in front of the people that these are thy gods which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And they took the name of the Lord God in vain. You see, they broke a lot of stuff right at the beginning. It was horrible. Because of that, they began to continue from that time, right up until the time that Malachi wrote, to disobey the commandments of God. And particularly, they disobeyed the Sabbath, and particularly they disobeyed idolatry, and particularly they disobeyed the commandments against covetousness, and stealing, and adultery, and killing. I mean, they broke them all. Honoring the father and the mother. I mean, it was just horrible what they had gotten into. And the Lord, he said to them, even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. But he gives them a chance. He says, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? In other words, they didn't even know how to get back to the Lord after hearing what Malachi said to them in that question. Now, when I read that verse, I thought, well, certainly we're not going to preach that whole verse as one text on a 30-minute radio broadcast. Certainly we'll take more verses with it, but the longer that I looked at it, it just stands alone. As a matter of fact, it is separated from verse 6 and verse 8 by a paragraph mark. And when the paragraph mark was inserted by Stephanus, he recognized that the verse was a standalone verse as well. And it really does stand alone. It stands alone as a statement by God against Israel 400 years before the time of Christ, and it stands alone as a statement against the United States of America. You see, the men who were responsible for the very foundations upon which this country was built were men of God, and that's not the way it is today. In other words, I could say to you the same thing that Malachi said to Israel in Malachi 3:7, and it would be just as appropriate today for me to say it to you as it would Malachi to say it to Israel then. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances. In other words, in the United States of America, we began with the ordinances of God. And ever since then, we've gone away from them and have not kept them. And yet it's as if the Lord would be saying to us today, return unto me, and I will return unto you. And the people ask, wherein shall we return? Malachi did these. Made this statement 400 years before Christ arrived. The verse is just as salient today as it was that many years ago. You're not going to find many things that are written that are so appropriate in a generation removed by nearly 2,500 years from the generation in which it was written. Let me read you a few comments by some well-known founding fathers of this country. I'll tell you what they did in case you're not familiar, and then I'll tell you something they said to show you that this country was built upon the ordinances of God, and now the ordinances of God are illegal in nearly every public specter by the very men who are in charge of government offices, the courts, the legislative branch, the executive branch. So what is that? The judicial, the executive, and the legislative branch. They all have reason to tell you that it is unconstitutional for the Ten Commandments, the ordinances of God, to be on display in public areas. Albeit, and that's a very hypocritical statement, if you go to the Supreme Court building, you're going to see the Ten Commandments. The very place where it is said to be illegal is the very place where those things are posted. Now read these things, and they're not original research for me. I had read these comments years ago and was able to locate them again. You can find them if you want to by searching the internet and looking up a thing called or a group called Wall Builders. I mean, that's like W-A-L-L, Wall Builders. And you'll find all these comments and many, many more to support them. And so I give credit where credit is due. They've dug these out and publish these for you, so you can go and read them for yourself. You can even go and read the footnotes and find out exactly where these things were stated or where these things were written. All right, John Adams. John Adams was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. He was a judge, a diplomat, and one of the two signers of the Bill of Rights. And furthermore, he was the second president of the United States of America. John Adams said this, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity." Now notice he used the term fathers, speaking of the founding fathers of this country. It is the same word that God used in Malachi 3:7 when he was rebuking Israel, even from the days of your fathers. And what did he say? He said, We, through our founding fathers, achieved independence based on some general principles, and those general principles are the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I then believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God. Do you get that? Those general principles are inseparable from God. So if you, the point is, if you remove those general principles from our way of life today, you'll lose the independence that was gained, and you will find yourself against God himself. Suppose a nation, he goes on to say, in some distant region, should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. What a utopia. What a paradise would this region be. John Adams says through that comment that if you would regulate society by the Bible and individuals would regulate their conduct by the Bible, you would have a paradise. And God was trying to establish that for the nation of Israel, and our founding fathers were trying to establish that for us. John Adams goes on to say, I have examined all religions, and the result is that the Bible is the best book in the world. Now that's John Adams, the second president of the United States of America, but that's not your government today. They say get the Bible out. All right, John Quincy Adams. sixth President of the United States of America, diplomat, Secretary of State, U.S. Senator, U.S. Representative, had this to say: "The hope of a Christian is inseparable from his faith. Whoever believes in the divine inspiration of the Holy Scriptures must hope that the religion of Jesus shall prevail throughout the earth. Never, since the foundation of the world, have the prospects of mankind been more encouraging to that hope than they appear to be at the present time. And may the associated distribution of the Bible proceed and prosper till the Lord shall have made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." He quotes the last part of his statement there from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 10. Sixth President of the United States of America. And what does he say? He says, as long as you build upon the Holy Scriptures, the prospects of mankind are encouraging in that present time that you build upon the precepts of the Bible. And so he encouraged the associated distribution of the Bible right up until the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in another quote, "In the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior. The Declaration of Independence laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity." In other words, he says our independence came from the precepts of Christianity, the liberty guaranteed in the Bible. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Samuel Adams, signer of the Declaration of Independence, father of the American Revolution, ratifier of the U.S. Constitution. If anybody would know what it was in it and what it meant to say, he would know. Governor of Massachusetts. Here's his personal testimony: "I rely upon the merits of Jesus Christ for a pardon of all my sins." Now therein lies a very clear, very distinct, very certain testimony of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he goes on to say, "The name of the Lord, says the scripture, is a strong tower. Thither the righteous flee and are safe." Proverbs 18:10. "Let us secure his favor, and he will lead us through the journey of this life and at length receive us to a better." What's he saying? He's saying that the strong tower is the name of the Lord. That's quoted from the scripture. But he also goes on to say that if we secure his favor, that's the imperative, let us secure his favor, he'll lead us. Well, you know what that means? If you don't secure his favor, he's not going to lead you. And if you're not led by the God of this universe, then you are led by your own imagination. That leading of one's own imagination, a world's imagination, is what cost Noah's generation their lives and all of their possessions, so that only 8 people survived at that time. You don't want to follow your own imagination. It's wicked. Elias Boudinot, President of Congress, signed the peace treaty to end the American Revolution. First attorney admitted to the U.S. Supreme Court bar, framer of the Bill of Rights, director of the U.S. Mint. Now, if anybody would know what was substantive in the Bill of Rights, he would know. Here's his testimony: "For nearly half a century have I anxiously and critically studied that invaluable treasure, the Bible, and I still scarcely ever take it up that I do not find something new, that I do not receive some valuable addition to my stock of knowledge or perceive some instructive fact never observed before. In short, were you to ask me to recommend the most valuable book in the world, I should fix on the Bible as the most instructive both to the wise and ignorant. Were you to ask me for one affording the most rational and pleasing entertainment to the inquiring mind, I should repeat, it is the Bible, And should you renew the inquiry for the best philosophy or the most interesting history, I should still urge you to look into the Bible. I would make it, in short, the Alpha and Omega of knowledge. Now, that's the framer of the Bill of Rights. And the Bill of Rights is, if you've ever studied that, it's excellent, excellent governing principle. And this man, for a half a century, 50 years nearly, was an ardent student of the Bible. And says, if you want to know history, if you want knowledge, if you want philosophy, if you want entertainment, if you want instruction, if you want value, read the Bible. And yet, the principles of the Bible are ignored by people today. That's why we call this broadcast the Unknown Bible. Many people still possess them, they just don't know what's in them. Congress, 1854. The great, vital, and conservative element in our system is the belief of our people in the pure doctrines and the divine truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what do they say now? In many public arenas where you are federally funded or government controlled, it is now no longer possible, or in some cases even legal, to name the name of Jesus Christ. But that wasn't Congress 150 years ago. 1854, great, vital, and conservative element in our system is the belief of our people in the pure doctrines and the divine truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Both have things changed or what? Congress, U.S. House Judiciary Committee, 1854. Had the people, during the Revolution, had a suspicion of any attempt to war against Christianity, that revolution would have been strangled in its cradle. In this age, there can be no substitute for Christianity. That was the religion of the founders of the Republic, and they expected it to remain the religion of their descendants. It hasn't. The ranks in Christianity are dwindling. Those that profess the name of Christ today profess a false gospel in many cases. And yet, in the founding of our country, had somebody decided that the revolution would be against Christianity, it never would have made it out of the cradle. And today, the advancement of the attacks against Christianity are a monster, full grown, and almost out of control. Patrick Henry, revolutionary general, legislator, ratifier of the U.S. Constitution, governor of Virginia. Patrick Henry said, "The Bible is a book worth more than all the other books that were ever printed." You wouldn't know that today. Righteousness alone can exalt America as a nation. Whoever thou art, remember this, and in thy sphere practice virtue thyself and encourage it in others. John Jay, President of Congress, diplomat, author of the Federalist Papers, original Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, Governor of New York. By conveying the Bible to people, we certainly do them a most interesting act of kindness. We thereby enable them to learn that man was originally created, today they say evolved, and placed in a state of happiness, but becoming disobedient, was subjected to the degradation and evils which he and his posterity have since experienced. The Bible will also inform them that our gracious Creator has provided for us a Redeemer in whom all the nations of the earth should be blessed, that this Redeemer has made atonement for the sins of the whole world, and thereby reconciling the divine justice with the divine mercy, has opened a way for our redemption and salvation, and that these inestimable benefits are of the free gift and grace of God, not of our deserving, nor in our power to deserve. The Bible will also encourage them with many explicit and consoling assurances of the divine mercy to our fallen race, and with repeated invitations to accept the offers of pardon and reconciliation. They, therefore, who enlist in his service, have the highest encouragement to fulfill the duties assigned to their respective stations, for most certain it is that those of his followers who participate in his conquests will also participate in the transcendent glories and blessings of his triumph. First Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. That doesn't sound like anybody on the U.S. Supreme Court today, does it? I recommend a general and public return of praise and thanksgiving to him from whom goodness these blessings descend. Do you see what he says? I recommend public praise and thanksgiving to him from whose goodness these blessings descend. The most effectual means of securing the continuance of our civil and religious liberties is always to remember with reverence and gratitude the source from which they flow. The ACLU doesn't believe that. They say, kick God out. That's the American Civil Liberties Union. They're not interested in your liberty. They're interested in advancing their agenda to the exclusion of your liberty and to their ultimate control. That's slavery. The Bible is the best of all books. For it is the word of God and teaches us the way to be happy in this world and in the next. Continue, therefore, to read it and regulate your life by its precepts. That's the original Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States telling you to regulate your life by the precepts of the Bible. Well, he's a lone wolf, a lone voice these days. Thomas Jefferson, signer of the Declaration of Independence, diplomat. Governor of Virginia, Secretary of State, third President of the United States. The doctrines of Jesus are simple and tend all to the happiness of man. You'll get some, but you wouldn't get most legislators today. You wouldn't get most presidents. I don't know if you'd get the current presidential candidates to say that the doctrines of Jesus are simple and tend all to the happiness of man. I don't know that they would be that bold, but he was. People say, oh, you can't speak about Jesus Christ that way. You can't advance the Bible. That's unconstitutional. Well, you're establishing a religion. Thomas Jefferson never established a religion. There's no religion name for him. Charles Taze Russell started a religion called Jehovah's Witnesses. That's named for him. Joseph Smith started a religion. That's called the Mormon religion. That was named for him. You know, you can see this foundation of religion in the names of many people. Menno started a religion. They called it Mennonites. Thomas Jefferson said the doctrines of Jesus are simple and tend all to the happiness of man. There's no Jeffersonian religion. That's just a man telling you the truth about Jesus Christ. And you know what? Today, statements like that have been and will continue to be more and more declared unconstitutional. Thomas Jefferson also said the practice of morality being necessary for the well-being of society, he, that is God, has taken care to impress its precepts so indelibly on our hearts that they shall not be effaced by the subtleties of our brain. We all agree in the obligation of the moral principles of Jesus, and nowhere will they be found delivered in greater purity than in his discourses, that is, in the Bible. In the Gospels of the Bible where Jesus spoke. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, you can see his discourses. Do you know what he's saying? He says, look, the precepts are on our hearts. It doesn't make any difference if your brain has subtle ways of trying to convince you. Otherwise, your heart will convince you that the things God said are true. And then he goes on to say about the society in which he lived. I'm talking about the third president of the United States. He said, we all agree in the obligation of the moral principles of Jesus. Boy, they don't agree to that today. Jesus was opposed to homosexuality. Jesus was opposed to theft. Jesus was opposed to idolatry. Jesus was opposed to covetousness. And most of the people agree today that those moral principles were wrong and that to advance those would be to violate the Constitution by establishing a religion, and therefore they've thrown those things out, and now the world is idolatrous, adulterous, the world is covetous, and the world is anti-God. Therefore, the world is going to get anti-Christ. Now, we have many more of these quotations prepared for this lesson today, And looking at the time, we don't have the time to go through these and do them justice. And so what we're going to do is continue this broadcast, more statements from men like James Madison, Benjamin Rush, who was the father of public schools under the Constitution, George Washington, Daniel Webster, Noah Webster, and John Witherspoon, who was the president of Princeton and a ratifier of the U.S. Constitution. And you will see that what Malachi said to the Jews in Malachi 3:7 is as appropriate then as it is to us today. Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from mine ordinances. You see, every man that I quoted, and let me say, when I went and got this information from Wall Builders, the same information you can get if you check out their website, there are many, many more men that espouse the same things that you're hearing here. Those were the ordinances of our fathers, and they were based upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were based upon the New Testament. They were based upon the ordinances of the Old Testament. And back then they kept them. You didn't have child molesting going on. You did not have gay marriage going on. They kept them. But now, this generation has not kept them, and the command of God, the invitation of God, is to return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? And that's the question that's raised today by people who think, why should we return? We finally have the liberties that we've always wanted to enjoy. We can do anything we want to do. Yeah, but not everybody can do everything they want to do, because we are restricted in the public place from posting the Ten Commandments and proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ and preaching the gospel, all in the name of violating the Establishment Clause of the U.S. Constitution. Listen, there is a promise of God in Malachi 3:7. If you will return to him, he will return to you. I've seen this personally in my own life. Would to God we would see this nationally. Unfortunately, Americans are so Bible illiterate today that they will ask the same question asked by Israel in this passage, wherein shall we return? They don't even know how. Well, tomorrow we'll give you some more quotations, and we'll give you some suggestions on ways that men should return, ways that you should return. But if you're not in a right relationship with the Lord now, you need to be in one soon. And God help you if you decide to resist.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.